This is 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow us on Twitter at 98.5 The Sports Hub.
A little extra effort could earn you a star.
Here we go.
This is Felger and Mass.
Yeah, Rex Ryan here.
I hate guests.
Yep.
There's no reason to touch them.
Keep it in your pants.
Why would you do that?
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, we'll get to the Michael stuff in a minute, but I promised your phone calls, so here they are. Dee in Amesbury on Rob Gronkowski in that story. Hi, Dee.
Hey, guys. I've had this thought for a while now before even all the retirement and the wrestling stuff came up. If you're looking at it from, like, Belichick's point of view, you look at the Patriots' stats, the wins, losses, you look at Brady's numbers. I watched a few games last year where it actually seemed like the offense opened up a little bit. When they didn't have Gronkowski, wouldn't you be looking – considering everything, possibly moving him? I mean, like getting him now, like maybe, I don't know what kind of draft pick you get, maybe a second or something from somebody.
So we talked about this, Dee. I think that horse left the barn when they traded Jimmy Garoppolo. In other words, Dee, if they had that mindset to cash in, maximize these aging assets, and turn the page, they would have done it with the quarterback, and then that would have set the stage for Gronkowski and everybody else. But when the owner steps in and overrules the coach to keep the 40-year-old franchise quarterback, you're now all in. And so you're all in on the players that the quarterback wants to keep. You're all in on the players that are going to help that quarterback. And I think that that is off the table. I do not think, even if Belichick wanted to trade Gronkowski, and he might, Belichick might say, the thing about when you start talking about retirement, you're half retired, which means you're all retired, and I don't want you. Either you're 100% in or you're 100% out. You know, and if you're not sure if you want to play anymore, then I don't want any part of you. So even if Bill looked at that and said, well, I should trade you, he wouldn't be allowed to. I don't think Kraft would allow him to trade Rob Gronkowski any more than he would have allowed Bill to trade Tom Brady.
So I just, the part I disagree with you on is, if Garoppolo had been here, would it be more incentive to trade Gronk? And I'd say no. Because, again, you want to win with Garoppolo. That's sort of the whole point. Like, why go young?
No, because you have time. Because you have 10 years.
Yeah, but Bill doesn't have 10 years.
You have 10 years. You have 5 years.
But even so, why not win with Gronk now? Just swap out the quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think Bill would look at it and say, we're turning the page. And not just that, Gronkowski, the retirement thing is untenable. You can't have players that have 1 foot in and 1 foot out. Once they have 1 foot out, they're out. And I just think Bill would manage it that way.
Okay, yeah, that's just a different reason, though. That is independent of who's quarterback. If the guy's
out, I'm just talking about organizational mindset. They chose another path.
Yeah. I just think that when they were overhauling the roster, and this gets down to a different discussion, but when they were overhauling the roster last year, I thought it was done in part to make the transition for Garoppolo easier, so that if and when they made the switch to quarterback, they had all the other pieces around him already. But that aside, Gronk, the Gronk thing with Belichick, I mean, how do you get this far with Brady now, commit to Brady, and then take away his best weapon?
Exactly, it wouldn't happen.
Right, I mean, you can't do that to Brady.
Not going to happen.
Brady will be pissed if they do that.
Jeff in the car, hi. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
Just wanted to talk about Bill Belichick, and, you know, I think one thing that history is not going to be kind to him is regarding his dealing with newer generational players, millennials. I mean, if you look at his history, and it's really glaring when it comes to the Super Bowl, you know, Colin Chandler was cut. Jamie Collins was cut. You're having problems with Malcolm Butler. And Rob Gronkowski is having issues, he wants to, you know, debating whether or not he wants to stay with the Patriots. I think this has a lot to do with Belichick's inability to deal with a newer generation of players that are coming up and allowing them to consume the information that they can actually consume based on how they grew up and how they're able to consume information.
Sure, I hear you, so, Jeff. You know, Jeff, let me just stop you. I mean, I think on the face of it that the older you get, the less you can connect to someone younger than you. I mean, I think that's basic. But you understand the problems he's having on his roster are not with the kids. They're with the oldest player on the roster and the guy who's been here 8 years. It's Brady and Gronk. It's these guys. It's not the younger guys.
But all of these smaller problems also contributed to Brady's issues, Brady's tensions. I mean,
no, they didn't. No. What created Brady's tension was Bill dinking around with Alex Guerrero.
Yeah, that's another example of something that's a new generational approach to treatment, which I know Guerrero is kind of a snake oil salesman, but still, I think it's Bill Belichick's inability to deal with new age practices.
Okay, I see your point. I disagree with it. Thank you for the call. I don't want to jump down your throat. I don't care if Bill cares if it's new wave, old wave, medium wave. He wants to be in control. Guerrero comes in and starts telling his players what to do. That's not a new age thing. That's a control thing. Bill doesn't want to lose control. You're just barking up the wrong tree, caller.
I mean, to me, it's about power and leverage. That's what Belichick's built on. The whole thing with everything Belichick does is about leverage. So now look, to me, the source of it is Garoppolo. Like, you know, Garoppolo came in, pissed off Brady, then they took the trainer away.
But the Guerrero thing started before Garoppolo. The Guerrero thing started before Bill was usurped on Garoppolo. So it started with Guerrero. I'm sure it started with other things, but this is just what we know about. The Guerrero thing came first, where Guerrero started telling the players, don't do what the team is telling you.
And when did Guerrero get kicked out?
I think it was before the trade deadline. I'm pretty sure it was before the trade deadline. It all started. I mean, again, the reason Gronkowski was pissed off in camp, according to Kern, is that the team wouldn't let him train the way he wanted to train, i.e., they were pushing back on the Guerrero stuff. So that's not a new wave thing. That's Bill, and I don't blame Bill. I can't have an outside trainer overruling my team trainers on how these guys should train. Why do I even have a team trainer?
Oh, listen, I'm not disputing that part of it. I'm just telling you that I think Brady's angst about everything got heightened as Garoppolo came into the picture and stuck around. So now all of a sudden you're going into the fourth year of Garoppolo.
Oh, no, yeah, it was on Brady's list for sure. You haven't re-signed me. That kid's still here. Now you kick out my trainer. Where's the loyalty? Yes, sure, Garoppolo was on that list.
So then I think it escalated there, for sure.
On Brady's end, yeah. Phelps in Boston on Julian Edelman. Hi, Phelps.
Hey, how's it going? The last time I was this annoyed by a story was when you guys were talking about the Wickersham, and I kind of got into the trash with you guys a little bit. I've been to take rehab here, and I'd like to avoid that. I'd like to talk about that. I think you're underplaying the time.
Hi, my name is Phelps, and I'm a takeaholic. Hi, Phelps.
I'm a take addict.
I'm sorry, Phelps. Go.
Sure, sure. I think you're underplaying the time of year that Edelman tore his ACL. You're talking about Welker, and when he did his, it was December. I'd like to call you out a little bit, actually. You're saying Jordy Nelson as an example of someone who had a bad year. He had an excellent year the year after his ACL.
He was another guy
that tore his very early in the year. I think it was preseason.
Yes.
Keenan Allen is another guy tore his ACL early, bounced back, had a good year. And if you remember Gronk, when he did his, the next year, after about 5-6 weeks, we were kind of worried about him. And it seems like he turned a corner. I think start getting, how do one manage to get all of them in here with his county voice? But I think you start getting into 12, 14 months, the guys be a little bit better.
Okay, so Jordy Nelson's never been the same. I'm sorry, I don't care what his numbers are.
Well, those numbers were really good. He was the comeback player of the year, 14 touchdowns, led the league, 1,257 yards, 97 catches.
But he missed a whole season, right?
Yeah, a year after the torn ACL, 16 games.
So it was in the beginning of 15 that he did it? It was in camp? Yeah, right, right.
I don't know what the hell the year is. Either way, the year after he tore his ACL.
I'm sorry, what year was the good year?
16.
Maybe I have that wrong then. In my mind's eye, he's never been the same. I thought he was really clunky when he came back.
That's your team. 16 games, 97 catches.
Yeah, but I don't play fantasy, so
1257, 14 touchdowns, led the league, comeback player of the year.
I don't know his numbers. Like, I don't care about his numbers. I just remember
14 touchdowns. Well, I mean, those numbers you have to consider.
That's a lot. You said that was 16?
Yeah, that's right, 2016.
I don't know what to say. Maybe I have that wrong. In my mind's eye, Jordy Nelson did not have the same explosiveness, and he still doesn't. A lot of players take 2 years to come back and be the same. If you tell me Edelman's going to do it in one, great. I still think he's the outlier. I still think the norm is that it's the second year, not the first year. Wes Welker was not the same. Tom Brady was not the same. Deion Lewis was not the same. Those are just Patriots examples. There are a ton across the league. They come back in a year, but they're not the same until two. If you tell me I had Jordy Nelson wrong, maybe I did. I'm not going to go back through my Packer film. I just don't remember. I don't think he's ever been the same. Mike in Braintree on Rob Gronkowski. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Quickly on the question that you asked, Mike, about why does everything have to be so exact? It's a simple answer. It's all about money. If it's not Vegas, it's the teams. You know, they want everything right so that they don't have to blame something for not making the playoffs or losing money. But what I wanted to say about Rob Gronkowski quickly is that, I hope he retires. The guy's a man. He's done enough. just go off into the sunset. Just don't do the WWE thing, because I myself would lose respect for him because I don't like wrestling. But could Tom Brady convince him to stay? You know, I would equate it to the hot bartender that asks you if you want another beer. Who says no to hot chicks? Who's going to say no to Tom Brady?
Who says no to Tommy? I think it's going to take more than that. I think it takes money, contract, the environment. Of course Tom wants him to stay. I'm sure Tom is, like, he has that in his back pocket.
They got to give him money. That's clear.
It starts there.
Oh, he's at $8 million. He made $10.5 million last year, more than half of which he had to get in incentives. Like, if I'm Gronk and I've accomplished what he's accomplished, not that he's Brady, but, you know, the two titles, the whole nine yards, I look at it and I say, I want skill position money. I want $15 million a year. And if you come up to 12 and a half, maybe we'll talk. Like, you know, but you go in looking for 15. That's what I would do if I were him.
So then there's a whole nother, like, you know, Gronk. I mean, we went through the dance thing. Like, maybe he wants to, you know, the thing about he wants to be a little bit more himself, or he wants his trainer. You know, he wants to be worked on in the trainer in the stadium just like Brady gets to. How come he doesn't do? Like, that whole, like, so there's a whole myriad of things that, again, according to Kern, and I think Kern had it pretty much dialed, that just had him, you know, beginning to wear on him the atmosphere here in New England. So it starts with the contract. And if I'm being, probably ends there. Probably begins and ends with the contract. We'll see how much he can leverage him and how much they'll come to the table. Back with more and the Al Michaels thing. Al Michaels had some interesting details on Malcolm Butler the week of the Super Bowl and maybe lending some insight into what happened there in that game. We'll get that to you right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I like anti-coupable. Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 Sports Hub.
All right, so then we have this. The Rich Eisen podcast. Al Michaels is on with Rich Eisen. And, of course, Rich Eisen asks about the Malcolm Butler story and what Al Michaels saw during the week at the game, his whole thoughts. And Al Michaels talks about being out of practice. And, well, here, I'll let Michaels say it for himself.
Well, we have access to practice, and the day we went to practice, he practiced every play. So nobody had any idea about this. I do know, you know, Devin McCourty has been quoted recently as saying everybody knew about it. I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, how did everybody know about this? If he's practicing every play, and the only thing I would say in retrospect, first of all, we don't know really what happened. I guess sooner or later, there had to be something there.
There has to be something there. Correct.
And he's, you know, we had a shot of him crying during the national anthem, so he knew at that point, I guess, that he wasn't going to play. And then the game evolves the way it does, and they're getting shredded in the secondary. So why does he not come in? And the only question I would have is, in addition to obviously trying to find out what really happened, if he's not going to play, why wasn't he deactivated? Why wouldn't you... If he's not going to play, put him over here. He's inactive. And then somebody else comes up. That's the only thing that surprised me. And I've talked to a couple of NFL coaches as well, and that surprised them as well in terms of, you know, if you're not going to play the guy, deactivate him.
Thank you very much. I mean, that's the first, I mean, I've been, my very first thing and still the number one thing on my list, the whole thing, is the fact that he was in uniform. It's just pathetic. But the day that Al Michaels was out there, he practiced every play. So what do you take out of that?
I think Michaels is telling the truth. I think that Belichick, you know, they may have had it on his radar that they were going to make a decision on personnel, or when I say that, I mean matchups, that they were going to start a certain way. But then as the week went on, he decided to pull the trigger on Butler closer to the game. And then, to me, the bigger sin still is that if they decided late that they were going to go with Rowe and some combination of other people, fine. No problem. But to me, the bigger sin is once the game started to go the way it did, you're telling me you couldn't put him in there?
No, because he already made his decision. He couldn't swallow his pride to put him back in that second half.
I mean, that is just, that's asinine. To me, that is the startling part. If there was a punishment involved, fine. He had to stay there the whole game. If it was a matchup thing, fine. He had to stay there the whole game. What's the excuse for not putting him in when you couldn't stop Nick Foles? What's the explanation for that?
There isn't one. And that's what makes it so infuriating. And hearing that, it just speaks to what I've always thought. He decided to MF the player at the worst possible time to make an example of him. And he did. And it ended up biting him in the ass.
Okay, so there's Al Michaels. That's his thought. What are yours? We continue. Here's Mike and Braintree on Ted Williams Way. That boy, that sounds familiar, Mike. Go ahead. What do you got?
Okay, Tucker, I understand. You've been scarred for life by thinking that you can hang with Big Jim Murray in Minnesota, but, dude, you can go out of the house every once in a while. It's okay. Anyways, it was one day in, I think, May 21st, 1991, that they renamed it for a celebration for Ted Williams Day as Ted Williams Way. So it's just one day. They never changed the official mailing address or anything.
Okay, so I'm a moron. I don't know why I was under the impression that that was now Ted Williams Way.
Yeah, I found this. He's exactly right. It's May 12th, 91. City of Boston Red Sox celebrate Ted Williams Day by renaming Lansdowne Street behind the Green Monster Ted Williams Way.
So
it was a one-day thing.
And I never got the memo that they changed back. I've been 27 years. I've been under the wrong. I thought that that was it. They changed the street name, and I never knew that they changed it back. So I just, no one ever updated me on the story.
Well, you're not going to get any criticism from me. I mean, there are people that have been dead for a long time that I think are still alive. Like, I'm the last person to throw stones on that one.
So anyway, today it came up because the team petitioned the city to take away the Yawkey Way name. And they petitioned to have it renamed what it used to be named, which was Jersey Street. Isn't it Jersey Street Extension or whatever?
I think that's right, yeah.
Which, again, I applaud the team for not overreaching on the renaming. Certainly not renaming it after David Ortiz or, you know, Maz's point about any person, because they'll let you down. But they could have gotten goofy with the name. They could have over-commercialized the name. They could have cheapened the name, just like they like to do. Like, every single one of their stupid pregame ceremonies makes me cringe. Like, there's just some sort of cheap, they just schlock it up. They could schlock up that name, and that's what I thought they were going to do. Instead, they say, no, just go back to naming it what it used to be called, which I applaud them. They didn't overreach on the rename.
No, Jersey Street's a good solution.
We've got Mike in Methuen with a Bruins thought. Hi, Mike.
Hi. So, because I'm a Bruins fan, I can't compliment Don Sweeney without bashing him, too. The thing that annoys me, I still can't get over the Holden trade. I'm really irritated by it. If you look back at Sweeney's last four drafts, he absolutely made great hay on rounds two and three. And the fact that he's giving away a third-round pick for a guy who's sitting on the ninth floor, it still drives me crazy. And another thing, I can't get over how easily people are accepting the fact that they couldn't have made a better offer for Ryan McDonough. Sweeney's such a good drafter, and he's done such a good job of restocking the.
So, Mike.
Yes.
Let me stop you. So here's the equivalent of what Tampa gave up. Are you ready for it?
Yes.
A first-round pick, a second-round pick that becomes a first if Tampa wins the Cup, Brandon Carlo, Ryan Donato, and your best prospect in your system, whether that's Stanika, Shanishin, you name it, whoever it is. So are you willing to give up a first, a second, Carlo, and the two best prospects in your system?
Yes, because defensemen like that don't grow on trees. He's a special defenseman.
All right, so hey, look, at least you understand what the give would have been. I would not have given that up for Ryan McDonough. They're not there yet. Like, Tampa's right there. They're the best team in the league, wire to wire. Those players are in their prime. You have Stamkos in his absolute prime. Hedman, Tyler Johnson, all the way down they have the MVP of the league in Kucherov. Like, they are right there. Okay, they make that move. You came a year early, maybe 2 years early, and you're looking at a run here over the next 5 to 10. No, I'm not doing that right there.
I mean, if you were to tell me that they would do it and then re-sign McDonough as part of some sort of bigger roster reshuffling to, you know, open up a 3 or 4 year window.
If they ultimately re-signed him, that's different. Then that's different.
I mean, to me, they weren't going down that road, though. Like, I'm okay with what the Bruins did at the deadline. I think Sweeney actually walked the line pretty well.
Except the Nick Holden trade is right. So last night you see this Wingles kid, right? He's flying around out there. Like, I mean, where did this guy come from? But he's a fourth liner. He's a fringe roster guy, but he's a real NHL player. And so you got him as protection in case someone gets hurt. You gave up a fifth round pick, and it becomes a fourth if something happens. I can't remember if they re-sign him.
No, I think if they win a round,
it becomes a fourth. Whatever, a single fifth or fourth round pick. Okay, for that guy, Holden was a third, and Rob Ogar. That makes no sense. And we have breaking news.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now what, Murray? Now what?
Well, as we've spent most of the show today, Ian Rappaport of NFL Network saying Rob Gronkowski is going to be back with the Patriots. Not to worry.
Oh, here we go.
Everything's going to be fine.
See?
Rob Gronkowski just tweeted, hashtag clueless, with the emoji of the little guy going, moo. So you could take that, as I do, as Ian Rappaport all day. Well, Gronk's going to be back. Nothing to worry about. Nothing to see here. Gronk's not going to the WWE. It's all about football. Gronk's going to be back with the Pats. Again, Rob Gronkowski just minutes ago tweeting, hashtag clueless. I have to read that as Ian Rappaport, clueless. I haven't made my decision yet.
See, so, to me, sorry, go ahead.
Good job on hitting the breaking news sounder. When that really isn't breaking news, but that...
You say be liberal with it.
That follows the Felger and Maz ethos with breaking news, which is seek forgiveness after the fact versus asking for permission. Proceed.
We need an update, Saunders. We have an update on the story, which isn't necessarily breaking news.
That's not breaking news, but I'll take it.
There's been a development in the Rob Gronkowski story. Gronk has responded. That's how I would have categorized
Okay, are you sure? Maybe he's talking about guys like us?
No, I'm with Murray. I think he's talking about Rappaport.
How do you know?
Because just I'm going with it. That's why.
Why would it be about guys like us who are saying Gronkowski's done? He's going to WWE. He hates Belichick. Why couldn't he be saying clueless about all the people on that side of it?
Because we've been saying that for days, weeks. And Rappaport spoke today about him coming back. And all of a sudden now he replies? No.
Does emoji look like a little elf? Because Rappaport's a little elf-like character.
No, it's a little blonde fella making the motion of, ooh. Like the hands are up in the air like, I guess. I don't know. Clueless. And if it's not Rappaport, how about the Patriots, who are obviously under the assumption, Gronk's going to be back. It'll be fine, because that's how it sounds.
I'm with Murray. I think it's Gronk saying, I haven't decided anything yet. I don't know what these people are talking about.
He's talking about you.
Then, because this goes back to what my initial belief was when Rappaport reported what he reported, which is they expect him back. You know, or is expected back.
Yeah.
Would Gronk say, I'm expecting myself back? No!
We couldn't be talking about Curran?
No, because he would have tweeted this yesterday after the report came out.
By the way.
Whatever happened to if you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly.
By the way, I happen to agree with you. If you're asking me, he's not doing that to Curran. He's doing that to Rappaport. I would agree.
You're playing devil's advocate.
I'm just saying.
Facilitating discussion.
We don't know. We don't know.
No, of course we don't know, but I'm telling you what I think.
He could be doing that to the other side.
Yeah, okay. He could be, but he's not. That is a direct shot to this story out there that, you know, I'm not telling you he's definitely gone. I'm just telling you that he hasn't said anything to anybody yet. That's what I think.
Oh, he's still got a lot of leveraging of the team to do. He's not going to tell the team, I'm coming back, because then he loses all the leverage on the renegotiation and all of that. He's got to... As Bedard wrote, he's going to take this to training camp.
That initial Rappaport tweet, the word that should set an alarm off in your head is expect. Expect. I expect a lot of things. I expect a grand meal when I get back to my house tonight. Doesn't mean I'm
getting it. You're not going to get it, pal.
Like, you know, there's a lot of things. So I just think that, to me, that's Gronk saying they don't know what the hell they're talking about because I'm not done talking to other people yet.
I expect my wife to take care of me tonight. And she tweets, hashtag clueless.
Clueless.
I don't know what he expects.
And now that I've said what I said, I expect my wife to be angry when I walk in the door.
Here's the latest on Rob Gronkowski and the update, and then back to you.
Sports Hub headlines.
So yes, earlier today, an update on the future of Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski, courtesy of NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, who is reporting the expectation is for Gronk to stay with the Patriots for the 2018 season. He did briefly ponder retirement, discuss possibly switching to a career in WWE or even Hollywood. And yes, he could end up in either of those venues, but the transition not expected to happen this year. But again, in case you're just coming in now, Rob Gronkowski tweeting just minutes ago, hashtag clueless. A little emoji guy making the little motion. More NFL news. The Jets today released defensive end Muhammad Wilkerson. Running back Matt Forte, last of the Jets, also announced his retirement from the NFL. The Bears going to be cutting quarterback Mike Glennon once the new league year begins. And in an effort to get back into the NFL and latch on with the team, quarterback Johnny Manziel tweeted today saying, I'll play again for free. It's not about the money. It's about getting back to doing what I miss and love. Red Sox officially filed a petition with the City of Boston Public Improvement Commission today to restore the name of Yawkey Way to its original name, Jersey Street. And according to a statement from the team, restoring the Jersey Street name is intended to reinforce that Fenway Park is inclusive and welcoming to all.
Celtics, they've won three straight, look to make it four in a row. They host the equally hot Charlotte Hornets tonight at TD Garden. Hornets have won five straight. That's a season high for them. Daniel Tice is going to miss the game. Tip-off 7:30. Sean Grandy, Cedric Max will have the call here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Headlines are brought to you by the Great American Franchise Expo. Meet franchise pros at the DCU Center March 3rd and 4th. First 100 attendees will receive a free VR headset. Get details at franexpousa.com. That's franexpousa.com. I'm Jim Murray from Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 Sports Hub. Next update, 30 minutes.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
They got back to me basically declining the request, saying it's their policy that players can't talk about their training regimens or diets. And I was kind of floored. I mean, I've been a beat writer at that point 4 years. I've been covering the team for seven total. I've never heard the app. And truthfully, I've talked to probably dozens of trainers, and I've talked to players about their diets all the time. So for that to come up definitely left me frustrated. So I approached Gronk, and I'm like, the team doesn't want me to write this. You know, they're saying I can't talk to you. But he still wanted to do it. I mean, he was so adamant about wanting to talk about, you know, the TB12 diet and the stuff he was doing that, you know, he gave me enough information that I got a 1,400-word feature out of it. And, I mean, at that point, I had to talk to a couple sources around him, too, to fill in some gaps. But, you know, he was certainly cooperative after, you know, the Patriots told me the interview couldn't happen.
That's Mark Daniels, Providence Journal. Just interesting insight, again, into the back and forth with the team and Guerrero. And, you know, I mean, it's twofold there, that the team was so sensitive to the Guerrero stuff that they wouldn't let a reporter do a story on Rob Gronkowski changing his diet and working with resistant bands. So the team was that sensitive to it. And the fact that Gronkowski went ahead and did it anyway when the team said that he wasn't allowed to. Like, those two things stand out. So again, that was Mark Daniels. We talked about the tweet yesterday. That was Mark Daniels this morning. I would touch on Rich.
I mean, it is. The second thing's as important as the first. As much as the Patriots said, you know, don't do it, Gronk said, screw you, I'm doing it anyway. Like, again, what are they going to do to him? What are they going to do to him? They're going to not pay him because he talked? They're going to release him?
Right.
Like, you know, if he was as disenchanted with the whole thing as Curran said he was 2 nights ago, then to him there's no harm in leaving. You know, trade my ass, trade it. What do I care? I got other options, pal. Like, you
and
know,
to them, and to him, he's hearing the team say today, via the mouth of Ian Rappaport, oh, we expect him to be back. So he takes to Twitter to say, hashtag, clueless, with a little emoji gun. I don't know what they're talking about.
Can I see the little emoji guy, please? Can someone show me what that thing looks like?
You said he's got blonde hair, though, right?
We got to be able to put it up on the simulcast. Like, what does the little emoji guy look like?
Rappaport has dark hair, though. The emoji has blonde hair.
He does, that's right.
It's not a Rappaport, though.
Well, it just could be Gronk.
Oh, maybe
saying, I don't know what they're talking about.
Oh, that could be.
He's calling. I never said I was coming back.
Calling himself clueless.
No. They're clueless, but the emoji is him.
Oh, I gotcha.
Dan in Gloucester following up on Alex Guerrero. Hi, Dan.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to point out, you guys talk about, you know, Guerrero being a snake oil salesman, but there doesn't seem to be a respect for the fact that aside from the physical benefits of his training regimen, there's also a mental aspect, right? And so you guys advertise for New England fat loss, and Maz, you can talk to this, obviously. There's really an important mental aspect to doing a program that makes you feel good about the choices you're making and how you're seeing results from it. And so if Brady is seeing results from TB12 that's allowing him to perform at a high level, and then other guys are seeing that, I just think that's highly valuable. And whether, you know, these things have been proven in scientific studies and then approved by the FDA or whatever, who cares? If you're getting results, that's all that matters. So I think, you know,
well, I mean, that's fine.
That should not be put in a bad light the way that he has been, just because,
Dan,
I mean, some of the other stuff is kind of shady.
Kind of.
Well, yeah.
I mean, come up with a pill that says that it can cure heart disease, cancer, and diabetes? I don't know. And then being told by the government to knock it off? And then a couple of years after that, coming up with a water that says can prevent concussions and having been told to knock it off again by the government, kind of shady, saying you're a doctor when you're not.
So he's wrong about that, obviously. And then the other thing is, I think he's missing the point. If Brady's getting results, great. That's great. I mean that sincerely. I don't mean to be like sarcastic about it. But if Guerrero is then luring other guys by undermining the training staff, there's still a team issue there.
No, the issue is the team has a trainer that they hire to train the players. Guerrero is telling these players, they're giving you bad information with the team. Don't do what they're saying. Do what I'm saying. And my point is, Felger's point is, that's untenable. You can't have that if you're the team. And Bill is right, then, to put his foot down against Guerrero.
Guerrero could be the most reputable guy in the world.
Guerrero could be right and the team could be wrong. All I'm telling you is, you can't. That's a recipe for chaos. If you've got different people telling you to do different things, you hire the team guys for a reason because you believe in them and you trust their advice. Hopefully it's right. And that's what you have to go with.
I mean, to me, that's what has happened down there. It's, again, Brady started to lure guys over to the other side. Guerrero started to undermine the training staff. And then you had this little spitting match. And then Brady got to keep his guy, but Gronk didn't. And so now here you go. This is, you know, and there were so many layers to this between Garoppolo and Kraft getting behind Brady. And, you know, Gronk then saying, well, how come you get behind him? How come you don't get behind me? Like, now you've got all these lines going in a million different ways, all because the quarterback had to have his whoopee. Like, to me, it comes back to the quarterback. To me, it starts there. And again, I understand the quarterback's different. But Bill's mistake was letting Guerrero in the room in the first place. He never should have let him in. And because he invited this. And, you know, but then if he wants to pull the plug on it, he's allowed to pull the plug.
Ryan in Falmouth. Hi, Ryan.
How you doing?
We're good. What do you got?
I just wanted to throw an example out there. I think Edelman, I want to believe that he'll come back and do the same, if not better. And I think we're missing one guy that actually tore up his knee and came back the NFL MVP, and that would be Adrian Peterson. He tore up his knee.
Yeah, no, we. Yeah, we mentioned it.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Sorry about that. Then go Edelman, hashtag concussion juice.
No, he might be one of the rare guys. He might be. I mean, Adrian Peterson, right, came back that year and was a beast. So, yep, you bet. Edelman could be that guy. But I'm telling you, there's more guys that took 2 years versus one. Wes Welker was, again, the example. And again, Wes Welker, he suffered that thing the last day of the season in 09 and then came back in 2010 and had easily his worst year as a Patriot. He had over 100 catches in five of his 6 years. The 1 year that he didn't was the year coming back from the ACL. But again, that was at the end. Edelman suffered his in preseason. You want to tell me he comes back as, I guess, Jordy Nelson was dominant when he came back from that knee? I don't remember it, but he was the NFL Player of the Year and scored 14 touchdowns. If you think he's going to be that, great. We will see.
Comeback Player of the Year.
Yes, fine. We shall see. I am sorry for suggesting that he might be slow coming back from an ACL, but that's forgive me for doing that.
Shame on you. Damn you.
Forgive me for thinking he might be a little slow coming back from a knee injury.
Anything that is remotely realistic is not allowed.
I will learn not to make that mistake in the future.
Here's only pom-poms.
Pete in Delaware. Hi, Pete.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Good.
Hey, you know, it's going to be interesting because in the past, New England's always been able to rally around a common enemy, whether it was the league, you know, all the Deflategate, Spygate, whatever. Now it's in their own house. Bill, Tom, Robert, whoever. And it's going to be interesting how they're going to put them egos aside and move forward. And all these stories is day by day coming out, how they're going to handle it. Because they can't point to anybody on the outside now. It's all within their own house. And now you got half the fan base. You got fans mad at Bill, some questioning Brady. I just find it's going to be intriguing offseason how they're going to move forward and get back to where they want to be.
No question, Pete. Isn't it kind of surprising that they already haven't come together? Like, they're still all sort of flailing around out there.
I mean, it feels that way.
They haven't had their come-to-Jesus moment. They haven't. You know, as Tom Curran said, they're still due for a hell of a clearing of the air down there.
Okay, so, but is that Belichick with the players, or is that Kraft-Belichick? You follow me? Like, Kraft and Belichick, I think it feels like, have had some sort of...
Yeah, they had the Davio's dinner.
They had the Davio's
Yeah, but that
meet.
Was the public part of it, right? Again, like, what, they're going to have a high-level meeting and do it in the middle of Davio's and let everybody see it?
But I bet they've had their conversations.
Okay, so I think so, too, because I think that is what precipitated the McDaniels return.
Right.
I think there was a discussion there. I'm just telling you, I don't think it was at Davio's. I'm not buying that one.
No, well, they did that because they wanted people to see that they were...
Absolutely. But the actual meeting probably came together before they decided to bring McDaniels back. And then, you know, so there was a talk there. But has Belichick cleared the air with his players?
Oh, God, no.
See, I don't think it's even close. Like, this Gronk thing, the more that this sort of percolates on Twitter and everything else the way it has, how many players now have sent out tweets in the last 3 weeks that could be perceived as tweaks or slights of Belichick and the Patriots?
Or they've actually spoken up like Devin McCourty did just last week.
Okay, so again, between the Instagram posts in support of Butler, the Gronk tweets talking about potentially going to the WWE, as much as they are cryptic or whatever, like, there are all these little things going on that tell you that there hasn't been any real mending taken to take place down there.
No, they're all hashtag clueless.
Yeah, they're all out. They have not come together. They haven't, and you know they will. OTAs begin when? You know, I don't even know. Like, they're gonna eventually their offseason program begins. The players come in. Bill comes back, and I think somewhere along the way here, you're gonna get a story or a report about them coming together. Like, I just think that we're due for that. That's going
to
happen.
I just, you know, to me, and look, you know, the Gronk thing may go on for a while. Who the hell knows? Like, it could go on to training camp, like Greg Bedard said today. Gronk could leverage him all the way to that point. But the league, don't you think something has to happen in the next 2 weeks? Like, they've got to make decisions on Solder. They've got to make decisions, in theory, on Brandon Cooks. You know, Brady's contract. Free agency starts effectively in a couple of weeks. Like, they got to start getting some clarity, don't they?
When you say the 14th, is that the tampering period or is that the league year?
It's a league year. Start of the league year.
So tampering period's like the 11th? Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think they do, Maz, and I think they will. I think they will.
I think so, too. I'm just telling you, I think some of it is imminent.
I'm surprised that it's lasted this long. I really am. That you've still got these sort of storm clouds. Like, I thought they'd be gone by now.
But that should tell you it's real.
Yeah, and I think the loss hurt. You know, the loss brings it out, makes it worse. The final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Mass's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Mass, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Nobody, Billy didn't turn on my mic.
All right, so earlier today when we were discussing the whether they're going to be the new catch rules in the NFL, it sounds like they're coming down the pike. Old friend of the show, Jermaine Wiggins, but now co-worker once again here at Beasley
Media. Love it.
Called in the show to give his two cents. And what's the shirt today you get there, Mess?
It's Jellivisus. Yes.
So again, just you do remember the send-away pep rally at Gillette before they went to Minnesota for the Super Bowl.
Jellivisus!
Jermaine Wiggins. Give me the whole thing quickly, Billy. He got a little, you know, just wiggy. Just a pure...
And I said it, and I meant it. They hate us because they want to be us. They hate us because they ain't us. And they hate us because they jellivisus.
So, never one to turn down a marketing opportunity or a money-making opportunity, he and his colleagues at WiggyWear have produced a line of T-shirts and car stickers that I have that say they hate us because they...
Jellifus us!
Jellifus us.
So here's...
Jellifus us. If you're watching on the simulcast, you see Maz has been sporting the Jellifus us T-shirt all day long.
Jellifus us!
Jellifus us.
Jellifus us!
There you go.
And here's Wiggy's call from earlier today.
Jermaine in East Boston, you want to weigh in on this?
Yes, I'd like to. I have to agree with you, Felger. They don't need to touch the rule. The rule, as simple as it could possibly be, survive the ground. It's simple. As a guy that's seen a lot of footballs thrown in his direction, catch the football, hold on to it, survive the ground. And Jim Murray, who tweeted out that video of the guy from Dallas that called that a catch, please leave that high grade alone. There's no way. You need a drug test him, Felger, right now. Take it to the bathroom and test him.
Wiggy, we also want to thank you for the T-shirt. Folks, if you're watching on NBC Sports Boston, Maz is wearing the Hate Us Because They Jellifus Us T-shirt that you knew Wiggy and Wiggy wear and his buddy.
Jellifus Us!
Yes. Is it Emilio Del Vecchio is your guy?
It's Emilio Del Vecchio. Old school. You can just find him on Twitter. You know what I mean? That's what I'm hearing out there. But please, Felger, I normally don't agree with you because you're an absolute guffoon, but I have to agree with you on this one with the catch. Players know throughout the NFL you have to survive the ground. What happens with the sideline catch? Guy catches it on the sideline, it gets pushed out of bounds, hits the ground, ball comes out. Is that a catch? He can't make a football move because he's doing a toe tap on the sideline.
Agreed.
That is the great rule. Leave it as is, and don't take out the instant replay because these referees are jackasses. Wigs out.
Guy's unbelievable.
You got to bread your butter, Wiggy.
Oof. A guffoon.
I like, too, that you're like, hey, would you like to plug this side business you have going here to sell these shirts? Just find him on Twitter. That's what I'm hearing about. All right.
That's what I hear. He's on Twitter. Yeah.
Also, found out this is actually my favorite part of the show today. Felger still thinks Lansdowne Street's called something else.
They changed it for a day in 91, and I guess I never got the memo that they changed it back.
Well, you had a tough day.
Lansdowne Street, it doesn't exist anymore, buddy boy.
What is it now?
It's Ted Williams Way, and it has been for 20 years, right?
Is that true?
Isn't that Ted Williams Way back there, not Lansdowne Street?
No,
I think it's still Lansdowne Street.
Everyone calls it Lansdowne. I don't think it is anymore.
Well, it's always going to be Lansdowne to me.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
I call it Lansdowne.
And the Avalon and the Axis ain't back there anymore. That's House of Blues, right?
Yeah, I know that.
I don't. I stopped going there when it was the Axis.
You get out for once in a while.
I don't. Right? I don't like going out.
Murray, you probably spent a little time in those alleys back there.
I used to DJ at Axis back in the day.
Yeah, probably the only thing you did.
Yeah.
You see a wisp of smoke coming out from between those buildings.
Squeaky clean over there, please.
I don't think someone's really allowed to answer.
It's Lansdowne.
In half a second, it should be.
When Murray was back there, I thought they were naming a new pope, for crying out loud. There were puffs of smoke coming out of those buildings.
It is still Lansdowne Street?
Still Lansdowne Street.
Yeah.
So where'd I get that from?
I have no idea. I think you made it up.
I did. I just made it up on the spot. Sorry.
Yeah.
I thought it was renamed. All right. Never mind.
I'm still waiting for the Felger Freeway.
And then we were informed that it was changed for a day when they did a Ted Williams ceremony. In 1991.
Well, you know, back then you were still a student, weren't you?
So apparently...
You're smoking a little yourself back then.
I never got the memo that they changed it back to Lansdowne after that day in 91. For the last 27 years, thought
amazing.
It was Ted Williams Way.
The Felger Freeway, Murray. What do you think?
I also like that you two Hornets. I didn't even finish the sentence. I used to DJ there. And it was,
Well,
of course you didn't. Who knows what you were doing back then? How much were you smoking? Dog pile.
Ever since that segment, I spent a good amount of time thinking what they should name a street after me after.
Which is?
The Mass Pike.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Pretty good. Yeah. I like it.
Always blocked up, too.
Yeah, no, I'm going with the Mass Turnpike. Either that or the Mazabon.
Michael Felger. Tony Maserati. Felger and Maz.